I just want to underline what Kevin said about poor urban water systems. If you stay here in Montreal long enough, you're going to be caught in a traffic jam caused by a broken water main. This city's infrastructure, I think, is not unlike a lot of cities' infrastructures with that kind of a problem. Okay, one more speaker, and then we'll open it up for some questions from you. Amit Mittal is the corporate vice president with Microsoft with a group called the Unlimited Potential Group. So please welcome Amit Mittal.
Good morning. Really excited to be here. My name is Amit Mittal. I'm the corporate vice president of a group at Microsoft called the Startup Business Group. And so what my group does is we identify and pursue new business opportunities worldwide. And one part of my group focuses on emerging market solutions. So one of the things I'll talk about today is a specific solution we've built over the last year focused on mobile health. How do you bring mobile telephony to solve healthcare issues worldwide? Now, before actually I begin, one of the things I want to point out is that in the conversation, the discussion this morning very much resonates with me, both the discussion this morning as well as the conversation I had with Marty, a colleague from Unilever from Netherlands last night at dinner. One of the concepts that we tried in terms of addressing the emerging markets, the emerging middle class or the bottom of the pyramid, historically was, let's take a bunch of products that were developed in the developed world, repackage them or lower their price point or do something which would, in essence, neuter the product, and then let's go sell it to poor people. And I think what we found over and over again in industry across industry is that fundamentally doesn't work. I think one of the reasons that it doesn't work is that, especially for poor people, for the emerging middle class, but especially for poor people, buying goods is really an expression of aspiration. They don't want the crappy products. You know, they don't want to say, hey, you know, I'm going to take what everybody else doesn't want. They want something which is as good and oftentimes better, because that is the way, often the one of the few ways in which they can express their individualism and how they are different than their peers. You know, when you're living in a place where, you know, you don't have a lot of opportunity to express that, you actually want products where you can actually do that. And the question really is, how do you deliver an experience, a product that's differentiated at a price point that actually makes business sense? So, you know, these people at the bottom of the pyramid don't want handouts, but they want the right products developed for them that meet their needs, that are affordable, relevant, and accessible. Okay, so with that, let's launch into my presentation. So, you know, we've talked about healthcare during the last couple of days in the keynotes. Last night we had a discussion on that as well. And we're familiar with many of the challenges happening in healthcare around the world. You know, there's 2 billion people on the planet who don't have access to appropriate healthcare services. That's close to, you know, a third of humanity, one third of humanity is in that situation. Every day, about 5,000 kids die from preventable diseases. Not because these diseases don't have a cure and not because the solution doesn't exist, it's because the infrastructure for delivering these services just doesn't exist. There's a massive, massive shortage of healthcare workers, of doctors and healthcare workers. And the healthcare workers that do exist often are undertrained. Often, many of them have, you know, roughly fourth grade education. And so the error rate in diagnosis and delivery of services is also very, very error prone and inefficient and creates cascading effects as well. And then finally, access to technology is very limited. You know, often you look at these things and you say, well, okay, if I can apply technology to to solve this problem at scale. And scale is fundamentally one of the big challenges. When you're dealing with millions and millions of people, how do you deliver these solutions at scale in a cost-effective way is one of the fundamental challenges. And so often you look at technology as a panacea, saying, well, technology has the ability of delivering a solution at scale. But very often in these environments, the technological infrastructure simply doesn't exist. People don't have computers, they don't have access to the internet, that sort of thing. So what does exist is the internet, this amazing source of information and data. Okay, that's out there. Okay, and it's growing every day through no work on our own. It's kind of organically growing, and people are contributing more and more data. So that exists. Software exists. And software has this unique ability of being able to harness information, put it together, compute on it, and deliver diagnostic information, deliver tracking information, deliver tracking solutions. Okay? And then finally, you have an explosion in mobile telephony. Okay? In India and China alone, in just these two countries, you have over 1.2 billion mobile phones. Okay, China has about 700 million phones. India has about 500 million phones, and they're growing at about 15 million per month. Okay, in the last several months, India's growth rate has been about 11 to 12 million mobile phones added every month. I was in India 3 or 4 weeks ago talking to some of the large operators, and in China actually last week, in fact, 2 days ago, I was in Beijing. And what is amazing is not just the growth of mobile telephony, but the assumptions you can now make about the pervasiveness of these devices. So now the question is, how do you bring together these three vectors, the internet, software, and mobile telephony? Because now what you have is this pervasive device, this infrastructure, which if you can stitch these three things together, you could maybe do something quite interesting. Okay? Because what is a mobile phone? A mobile phone is a little computer. Okay, it can do processing, it can store stuff, it is connected to the network, by definition. If it wasn't connected to the network, it'd be pretty useless. You wouldn't be able to make calls, you wouldn't be able to do SMS. The problem with mobile telephony, historically, is that the platform that exists across all these devices is extremely fragmented. Okay, so it's very difficult to build applications for these devices. Okay? And so one of the reasons why smartphones have become very popular, like BlackBerries and iPhones and Windows mobile phones and the upcoming Android phones, is that they create a platform on which you can create interesting applications. You don't buy your iPhone because it's a nice-looking device. You buy it for all the apps, just like the ads say, right? But it's very unreasonable to imagine that you can go to these billions of people in the middle and bottom of the pyramid and say, hey, go buy, an iPhone or go buy a Windows mobile phone. Eventually they'll get there, okay? But 1.2 billion phones aren't going to get tossed out and replaced by smartphones anytime soon. At the same time, these people with these cheap devices don't want an inferior experience. They want a nice experience where they can interact with the device, okay, and have interesting applications. They don't want to necessarily be relegated to, using SMS or texting for their applications. So what do you do? So what we've been working on, one of the projects my team has been working on, is this project called OneApp. We launched it in August in South Africa, and we're working with a number of operators worldwide, especially in emerging markets, to deliver solutions for them. And basically what OneApp is a platform that runs across the majority of feature phones. Feature phones are kind of the prevalent phones in emerging markets, and actually in the developed markets as well. It's a platform that runs across these phones that allows you to create rich interactive applications. That really makes it easy for you to create a new breed of interesting applications that you can interact with. That's all it is. It makes it easy to develop the application, makes it easy to deploy it. It has a business model that works with operators because operators want to make more money from data and applications. There's this whole kind of ecosystem we're creating around OneApp. And one of the applications we built on OneApp is a health application. We partnered with a company called Robertson Technology. They're based in the U.S. And what Robertson has done is, well, what Robertson is they have perhaps the world's most comprehensive database on health and disease. Okay, and they have some very sophisticated software and algorithms for extracting data from this database, being able to diagnose diseases, and also predict diseases. So if for example, you have a comprehensive database about, you know, there's a lot of flu happening in this part of the country, and you know kind of the patterns from the past of how diseases migrate, you can do some very interesting predictive things. So we've been working, and, you know, so their application runs on the PC. We've been working with them to say, what would be an interesting use of this application and this technology on the mobile phone? Okay? Because if you can harness that PC-based application and deliver a solution on a mobile phone, which you can then deliver to a health worker, things could get quite interesting. Why? Because as I said before, the error rate for typical health workers in the field is very, very high. And what their PC application did, they just concluded a study recently. In the emerging markets, in a couple of deployments that they've done, their PC application was able to increase the accuracy of a health worker from about 52% to 84%. Now, most doctors have an accuracy of 85%. Okay, so that is pretty amazing. It's amazing because not only do people not get misdiagnosed, but when you actually engage a doctor, they don't spend a whole bunch of time correcting errors and, you know, kind of digging themselves out of a hole. Okay, so that's quite interesting. So let me now actually show you a demo of this thing we built for them. Actually, before I launch the demo, here's what you're going to see. You'll see a video of the application we've built. This application is something we're going to launch in the next several weeks. And what you'll see is two things. You'll see their diagnostic app for health workers, and then at the end of the video, you'll see an app which is more about consumers, which will help, you know, sort of end users get some health information as well. Okay, so here's what's going on. The app is called Health Manager. You've logged in. And here, the first thing you do is you say, what are my complaints? In this case, I believe the complaint is going to be a headache. And here's what's interesting. Rather than have a, you know, 800-point questionnaire about, hey, do you have any of these symptoms, the software is smart enough to say, okay, based on your response, I am going to narrow down the possible symptoms. So very, very quickly, the software helps you very quickly narrow down to the symptoms that are relevant to you, that are relevant in the geography you're in, and expressed to you in terms that are local. So it's completely regionalized. Okay, because one of the big problems is people don't necessarily, you know, the language of disease is different from country to country. So the software goes through a set of increasingly specific questions. Okay, and so very quickly, what will end up is you'll end up with a diagnosis. And the diagnosis will say, you know, hey, based on these responses you have and the symptoms you're exhibiting and the complaints you've got, you know, the likely outcome or the likely diagnosis and the likely disease you've got is, that's either influenza or malaria. Well, there's a huge difference between influenza and malaria. So the software is smart enough to say, wait a second, I need to ask more questions. Okay? I need to be more specific about it. Okay? And so it asks more questions and it says, well, okay, based on now these additional responses that you have provided, it turns out that your diagnosis is, in fact, malaria. Okay, so it's regionalized and it's smart enough to respond to confidence factors. Here's more information about malaria, which you can provide to the consumer. So this is the health worker application. The second application that I mentioned earlier is kind of this baby information, baby-proofing your home, some of the hazards for your baby. This is much more focused towards end users or consumers, where basically you can say, how can I get information that is relevant to me that I can use to help, you know, raise my child and create a safe environment for my child. So that's a demo of the application itself, and as I said, it's going to be launching in the next several weeks. So what's interesting about this? Several things from our perspective. One is we built this platform that allows the prevalent mobile device, actually in many places, the prevalent computing device, to now be used as an interesting platform to build interesting new applications. Not just in health, but for example, you could say microfinance, right? How do I check my balance? How do I get information about grameen, perhaps? You know, how do I get information about water? Okay, on the device I already have, I don't have to go buy a new thing. On a device that I'm already familiar with. Okay, so that's one of the really interesting things. The other interesting vector that we've discovered is that increasingly many of the projects that my team is doing in emerging markets have this trickle-up effect. It's not trickle-down, it's trickle-up. It's coming backwards. Okay? Because of many of the phenomena that you described, you know, a few minutes ago, where once you do this in an environment which is already very tolerant of disruption and is receptive to these kind of changes, you say, wait a second, you know, I want exactly this kind of thing here in the developed world, right? This one-app application platform we built for the emerging markets is actually very, very interesting and relevant here, right here in North America, right? Because over 70 or 80% of the mobile devices are exactly these kind of devices, even here. So that's one part of it. And it's not just mobile telephony. You know, we're doing things. In fact, last week, my team announced a new product called Windows Multipoint Server. Okay, slight tangent, but I think it's illustrative of some of the things we are looking at. Windows Multipoint Server is a product that we've just built based on the idea that if you have a PC and you want to share it across multiple people, how do you do it in a very cost-effective and efficient manner? Now, why do you want to do this? If you want to deliver a PC experience to a lot of people, you could say, well, I can reduce the price of the computer, but there's a floor, and the floor is about $300 or $400. Okay, and it'll go down because these devices are getting, oops. Computer decided that it was going to be asleep. Sorry. Okay, yeah. Can look at the butterflies again. Sorry. The PC. So there's a floor, and you know it's going to decline at about 10%, 5 or 10%, based on reduction of component costs. But there's only a floor. It turns out that today you can buy a computer for $400 or $500. That's very, very, very powerful. Okay? And frankly, in many cases, exceeds the needs of many users. In many cases. Not always, but in many cases. And so you could do a few things. You could have a few responses to this phenomenon. You could say, well, okay, I don't care. You know, the computer is really powerful. I use it only, 2% of the time, but that's okay. So that's one response. The other is you could say, hey, I could share it across multiple people. Okay? And there's two kinds of sharing. One is sequential sharing. Okay, I use it, then you use it, then you use it, and that's kind of the internet cafe model, where instead of using a computer a half hour a day, I'm using the same computer 18 hours a day. Okay? So that's kind of one way of being cost effective in that dimension. The other thing you could do is you could do concurrent sharing. One box, multiple keyboard, mice, and monitors plugged into the same thing. Okay? Now, why is that interesting? Well, that's interesting because in education scenarios, let's say in emerging markets, and this is where we first developed this, we said, okay, you know, how can we deliver a PC experience in emerging markets in education scenarios? It's very compelling to say, just buy one PC, plug in multiple mice and monitors, and so instead of only one kid having access to the PC, 10 kids do. It's quite interesting. Now, here's what has happened. We launched this thing, okay, and it was targeted in emerging markets. Well, guess what? It's as relevant in a school in Georgia or New York or North Carolina as it is in the middle of India. It's the same dynamic. You know, everybody wants a less expensive solution as long as they don't have to compromise on the experience. And that's the key thing. You know, people don't want, they don't want a neutered solution. They don't want a chair with the legs cut off, right? They want the full chair. Or they want a chair which is maybe made of different materials, but has the equivalent or maybe a better experience. Okay, so this is kind of a pattern we're seeing over and over again. The trickle-up thing, the idea of incubating in an environment which is more tolerant of disruption, and the idea that very, very quickly the solutions and the experiences we develop in emerging markets boomerang right back and are as relevant and interesting in the developed world. Okay? Well, thank you for your time.